Amen. Amen. This whole church. The people out there look here, and they admire you people. They do. They love you. They see you. They see you on camera. They say, boy, we got to get up to Festus. We got to meet those people. We got to be there. So every now and then we'll have visitors come in from just different places. They just want to be here. And I thank God for that. Anybody else got something on your mind and a heart? Just want to say something good about God this morning. All right. It's my turn then. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Let's go back to the book of Numbers. Chapters 1 and 2, just a couple verses out of there. And we're going to move through this message. I started preaching last Sunday morning about the standard, raising the standard. What is a standard? And the standard bearer. And I want you to pray for me this morning. I mean, I don't feel bad this morning, but I can tell that my voice is not what it should be, what it normally is. And, you know, speaking a lot will do that to you. And we're just tired from traveling and so on. That kind of wears you out. And so just pray for me this morning that God will hold me up. I tell you, anybody who's watching this morning who was at the meeting yesterday morning, I was under something. And I did not feel good at all. And I wasn't sure. I was scheduled to speak, I think, at 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and about up till 10, I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. And I went in that little meeting room, and I asked, I told everybody before that they had a camera on me, and I told everybody before they turned the camera on, I said, would y'all do me a favor, would you pray for me this morning? I said, I just don't know if I'm going to do this or not. And boy, we prayed, and some saints got a hold of God, and I appreciate that. And it just went well, and had some good meetings yesterday. And I did what I set out to do, and that is to try to preach the truth, to do it in love, to tell the truth, but to tell everybody that the Bible's right and men are wrong. Amen. The Bible's right 100% of the time. And so pray that the Lord will bless that. Pray that He'll bless it this morning, because what I believe, and if I have problems just saying this in some nice, sophisticated way, during this message this morning, I'll just say it plainly. This Bible is my standard. This is my standard. This is what I hold to. And I want you to keep that in mind, because that's pretty much what I'm going to say this morning. And I'm going to come up with all kinds of nice, fancy ways that I can try to say it. But the bottom line is, if I don't say anything else today and let y'all out at 11:30... I've never done it that way before. But if I were to just say one thing to you today, that is, this Bible is my standard. It is what I align myself with. It is what I identify with. It is what I hold to. It is what I count on. It is what I look for to be lifted up. If I'm away somewhere, I'm going to look back to see where the standard is so I can get back where I need to be. Can I hear you say amen? And again, if you don't understand anything else I said today, understand me on this one. This Bible ought to be your standard. I'm not preaching an all-inclusive kind of message where I think, well, whatever standard you have, that I'm sure that's fine with you. Whatever you want to do, Jim, I'm sure that works for you. Listen, I don't preach that way, and I don't believe that way. I don't think that whatever religion you're in is right for you while mine's right for me. I don't think that. I think God's way is the right way for everybody. Yeah. Amen. It's the right way for everybody. It's the right way for me. It's the right. And that's what we're trying to tell people. Trying to give people the gospel, trying to tell them the good news, that God's way is the right way. And so I'm not going to leave you. That lady that came to me yesterday and was telling me about how it was okay to pray to statues. I didn't want to say, well, bless your heart. You know, that's probably the way for you, but that's not the way for me. I didn't say that to her. And I wasn't mean about it. I loved her and shook her hand and was trying to be compassionate to her, but I think there, and I know that there's a better way. Amen. And when you bow to an idol and to a statue, can I tell you why I think that's so wrong? You want to hear why I think that's so wrong? You pray to them, they can't hear you. The Bible says they have ears and they can't hear. And you ask them to answer your prayers, they have arms and they can't do anything. You know, these statues and these idols have legs, and I've never seen one of them walk anywhere. You know what I've seen? I've seen them have to be carried in. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they have ears and they cannot hear, and eyes that cannot see, and lips that cannot talk, and they cannot move. And the Bible also says that they that worship them are as them. Okay? People need to be saved out of that. I don't just think that everybody's way is the right way. I think God's way is the right way. Numbers chapter 1, verse 52, the Bible said, and the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, every man by his own standard throughout their host. Over in Numbers chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign or the ensign of their father's house. Somebody help me. Is that ensign or ensign? Ensign. All right. Y'all are just educated enough to know how to say that, so I'll trust you on that. All right. With the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I don't want to just drag this out just to say I've fulfilled the hour. Lord, am I not interested, Lord, in cutting it off? Just to favor me or someone else. God, I just want to preach the Bible and preach your word and do what you've asked me to do and do what you said to do. Do what you've laid on my heart. God, you helped me last night as I went back over this message. And Lord, you gave me some things to say. And I thank you for that, God. So I believe, God, this is your message. This is what you want these people to hear. And Lord, I pray again, Lord, as I prayed yesterday, help me in the weakness of my flesh. And Lord, just help me to stand, dear God, and help me to preach the Bible and help me to do it in love. But God, I believe that your way is the right way. That's what we need to hold up to. So Father, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I had mentioned this. Let me just read some verses this morning. And I made that, you know, just probably all that I've got in me is just reading some verses. But Isaiah 11, verse 10, the Bible says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, or an ensign. There it is. I did it again. I didn't listen to you. That shall stand for an ensign of the people. And to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And then in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 2, the Bible says, declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. And so it's very clear to me. And then it says, publish and conceal not, and say that Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, and Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. And so, very plainly and very clearly to you this morning, I just want to declare to you that this Bible is the end sign of God. It is the published standard of God. And I've said this in many, many areas before and in many ways before. But I just want to kind of reiterate that this morning, and then we'll go through a couple things, and then we'll be dismissed this morning, all right? And I want you to keep praying for me, all right? But anyway, I've been around some people this weekend that you ask them, oh, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible. Well, I believe the Bible. Oh, yeah, the Bible is the only way. Then when you get right down to it, Gary, you start finding out, well, what Bible do you believe in? How do you believe that Bible? And the work of a lot of ministers right now, a lot of scholars, a lot of people that are in the ministry, they're telling you, oh, I believe the Bible and I believe the Word of God. But when you listen to them and listen to what they say, they're not saying the same things that you and I are saying. When you hear them talk, they're not talking the same way you and I are talking. And yet they say they believe the Bible, and all you have to do is believe in this generic idea called a Bible. But it comes right down to it. And you and I know what we're talking about. There's many different versions of the Bible. And not only that, but we have pastors behind the pulpit that are Greek and Hebrew experts. They grew up in Greece and then they grew up in Israel, and they know how to speak them like their natural languages. They act like they're very smart, and they love to shred apart the words that are written in our Bible. They like to take them and say, no, it doesn't really mean this here, and it doesn't really mean that there. And let me, you would never know what this Bible said if I didn't tell you what this Bible said. And they're coming up, and I'll tell you, if you want to follow the trail of false doctrine, it always starts on how they treat this Bible right here. They will, listen, this Bible is anti-false doctrine. It is false doctrine. It won't allow false doctrine. And if you just go to anybody, there's a guy in my mind named Arnold Murray. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Yes. Old Big Arnold. Okay. Arnold, he's got his own satellite TV deal, and he's somewhere down there in Arkansas, down in them hills down in there. And he's come up with all kinds of strange stuff. There's, you know, you're not going to burn in hell and this, all kinds of weird things. And what he's done, if you just listen to him for about 15, 20 minutes, you'll hear him say, now in the original language, it says this. Now, this is translated wrong. And what this really says is this. And they have to take this Bible right here. And they have to, and when it says hell, well, that's not really what that means. It really means something else. And they rewrite the whole Bible to give you their version of what they think God is saying. That's how it starts. And I'm going to tell you something. They're not using the same standard. They may say Bible, but they're not using it. They're coming up with their own interpretations and their own ideas of this and that and the other, and it is not the Word of God. You know, I was going to try not to do this, but I'm too tired to stand up this morning. So can I? All right. So anyway, I'm trying to be tough, and I'm not playing the part very well this morning. All right. So anyway, all right, now maybe I can preach a little bit. Okay, now maybe we'll stay here till about 12:30, now that I'm all comfortable. Get off the bench. All right. If I get excited about something, I might stand up, all right? But anyway, false doctrine always starts out with taking the Bible apart and then rebuilding it in the way that you want to rebuild it. That's not a standard. And I'll tell you something. I've been in different areas of life, and I know that there is a standard in every area of life, except for some reason, the church. When I was in drywall, when they would stock a house with drywall, it was almost always 4x8 or 4x12 sheets, half inch drywall. Okay? And you didn't have to actually give all the dimensions to the guy that you were ordering the drywall from, because there was always a standard. And if they delivered drywall to a house and it was supposed to be 12 feet, when you run a tape across it, it was exactly 12 feet long, exactly. And every sheet of drywall was exactly the same length. Exactly. When we would buy paint, and I'm just talking about stuff that makes walls look pretty. Paint. That's what it does. All paint does is make a wall look pretty or a piece of wood look pretty. That's it. That's all the use that it has. And yet a gallon of paint, a bucket of paint, has standards behind it. They said 5 gallons or 1 gallon or a quart. And if you bought a quart, you weren't buying a half a quart. You were buying 1 quart because that's what you wanted. That was a standard. And even the mixture of that paint, when we could go into the paint store, and some lady would give us a piece of cloth that she was going to buy her curtains with and say, can you match that? And we would take that into the paint store. The paint store would figure out exactly how many drops of this and how many drops of that. And it was all done by a standard. They had a standard. The carpenters, when they built walls, do they have standards? There's a standard for building a house. There's a standard for driving nails. There was in some municipalities, they had a drywall nail inspection. A guy had to come in and examine the nails that were in the drywall and either pass or fail it, whether or not there was enough nails in there and whether or not they were spaced so far apart. That's a standard. And there were inspections for every one of these. And if it didn't meet the code, it wasn't right. And we thank God for these standards. Amen. How many of you remember several years ago back in the 80s, that walkway in that hotel in the Kansas City? You remember that? And all those old people there, I didn't mean to sound mean, but all those senior citizens there having that ball, and that thing collapsed and killed about 100 and some odd of them. You remember that? You know what that was? Somebody had set a standard for what concrete was supposed to be, and the person who poured it or mixed it or bought it or put it on there didn't follow the standard, and people died. You think those standards are there just to make money? No, they're there for a reason. And everybody operates on standards. Who in here is in the medical field somehow, some way? You're in insurance or you're nursing, you're a doctor, whatever. You're in that. David, are there standards? Oh, yeah. Thick manuals. Gigabytes full of information of standards that everybody's supposed to follow. And if you don't, if you're taking care of a patient and his deal requires 3 cc's of some chemical that you're going to shoot his veins, and your needle's messed up and it doesn't have the right amount in the cc's, you're going to kill that guy. Is that the truth? Is that how it works? And then they can't go back on you. Because, you know what? I bought the needle from such and such company. They're the one whose standards mixed up. I read what they said was 3 cc's. And that's not what it was. That's not my fault. That's theirs. They did not abide by the standard. And somebody has to pay the price for it. And I want to tell you something. You listen to me, husbands and fathers and moms and dads. You set a standard in your home. You abide by that standard. You set this Bible up as the rule and the standard for your house. Because your children are going to grow up one of these days and they're going to come back on you. Amen? And they're either going to look at you and say, Mom and Dad, thank you for raising me the way you did. You set rules. You set guidelines. You set standards. And you told me not to break those standards. And I did. I know how I ended up my life is my fault and it's not yours. Or they're going to come back and look at you and say, why did you let me do that? Why did you let me run around with everybody in the neighborhood? Why did you let me go over so-and-so's house? Why did you let me have that all that stuff in my room? Why did you do that? Because you didn't set a standard. They're going to come back on you one way or the other. And all because you didn't set a standard. And I'm telling you, this Bible is the standard. This Bible was the standard in churches all across this country. They all had one Bible. That was back when America was great. Do you think there's a connection with people having to lock their doors every night and the fact that we all got 50 different Bibles in our churches? I guarantee you there is. Because I want to tell you something. The men who are responsible for the morality of America is not the congressmen and the lawmakers. Did you know that? Everybody's whining and complaining because we don't have our guys in office right now doing for the country what we should be doing for the country. The fact of it is, we lived in an America where everybody lived halfway decent and the church didn't have to do anything. Now we're whining and complaining because we're going to have to roll our sleeves up and go to work. Because you cannot guarantee that Barack Obama is going to lead America into righteousness. You cannot guarantee that the Congress is going to do right. You cannot guarantee the judges are going to do right. You cannot guarantee the cops are going to do right. And they're fixing to come after all of our guns. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not the government's job to save men's souls and lead them into righteousness. That's not the government's job. It's the church's job. I think we ought to do the job. I think we ought to roll our sleeves up and go to work. Hey, quit complaining that nobody else is doing it for you. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. It's not the government's job to set the standard. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I want prayer in schools anymore. You know why? Who are they going to pray to? You're going to send your kid or your grandkid to public school. You're trying to tell them that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only God. Then they have to go to school and pray to Allah. Ain't going to happen. Set the standard. It's the church's job. It's our people's job. It's Christianity's job. It's the Bible believer's job to make sure that there is a standard set for a way of life that we hold dear to ourselves. What am I getting at? I think there ought to be standards of belief. I think if you're Christian, you ought to believe what the Bible says. Amen? Standards of belief. I know that there's some disagreements probably even here in this church over one thing or another, and I can handle that. That's a lot of it's not a big deal. But if you think you're going to be comfortable sitting in this church not believing in the virgin birth, you're wrong. If you think you're going to be comfortable sitting in this church not believing in the blood atonement and salvation by grace through faith, you're wrong. If you think it, and there's been people tried to come in this church, and they thought maybe our church was okay, but if we just had little tongues going on, we'd be even better. Okay? We've got a standard here. That's not who we are. Amen? That's not who we are. Standards of belief. I think dads and husbands and moms especially should set a standard of belief in their home. I think when Sunday morning rolls around, the kids ought to know, listen, I don't know what family you woke up in today, but this family goes to church Sunday morning. Amen? I don't know, you know, maybe you think your name is Smith or something like that, and it's not our last, but we're the Hoggard family, and we go to church on Sunday morning. That's our standard. That's what we believe in. This is how we live. Amen? And I don't know if it's anybody in this church, so I'm not being mean to you. But do we not know people that say they go to church, and yet their standard is that more than likely the kids know mom and dad's not going? That's the standard that they have. And that's how they live. I think you ought to have standards of belief. I wrote down about six or seven things last night on the plane. And, I think the Lord gave them to me, but if you don't like it, just say, God, I don't like that. Maybe Mike was not in a good mood last night. Well, I was. I was pretty good mood. But by the time I got on the plane, I was a pretty good mood last night. I think you ought to have standards of music. Okay? I know people don't want me to say stuff like that, but I just don't think that every kind of music is right. I don't think it's good. I think it's evil. I think the recording industry as a whole is a very, very evil entity, evil organization. And it just cracks me up to hear little 12, 13-year-old girls say, oh, Justin Bieber's a Christian. I don't buy that. I don't believe that. Okay? I think you ought to have in your home and in your car and in your mobile musical device. Can I tell you what standards are good for? Standards are good for not just the people who want everybody to see their standards. Standards are good for personal use. If you'll have a standard, you won't have music on your iPod or your iPhone or your Android machine or whatever it is you've got. You won't have music on there that you're afraid somebody's going to find out about. If you'll just have personal standards. If you'll just set standards for yourself and say, you know what, I know that I'm not going to listen to this stuff anymore. I used to like it. Boy, there's music I really like, Brady. Boy, I could really get into some of it. You wouldn't want to see me do it, but I could really get into some of it. Okay? I've air jammed before. Okay? That's all right. At least I know he's listening. Amen. But set standards for yourself. Set a goal for yourself. Set an idea for yourself. Set them high. Set your standards high. The higher that flag is, the better you're going to be able to see it when you're really down. Amen. Standards of dress. Now, in the wintertime, you don't have to preach that a whole lot because everybody's covered up. Okay, except for I don't know what it is, these teenage girls and boys that sit out at the bus stop when it's 10 degrees outside, waiting for the bus in short shorts and t-shirts. Because wearing a coat is not cool. I don't understand that. Okay, set a standard for dress, for personal appearance. Can I even preach this too? When you go out in public, comb your hair, brush your teeth, clean your fingernails, and unless you're going to the feed store or going down to the body shop or something like that, you know, set a standard for how you're going to appear and how you're going to look out in public. And if you have, and see, well, I don't know what to do, then read the Bible. God's got all kinds of standards on how to dress. Amen? And I don't hit that very often. I'm not the dress police man here in this church. I'm not going around looking for you in town to see how you're looking. So I forgot what to preach next Sunday. I don't do that. And I'll tell you, if you will set a standard And I'll tell you something, you could even probably set a standard higher than what I preach it, as long as it's from the Bible and live by it. Can I get God's people to say amen? Amen. I think you ought to set standards for entertainment in your home. And if you'll set standards, listen, moms and dads, if you'll set standards for entertainment in your personal life, then they will automatically be set for in your home. But the kid, let me tell you what your kids know about you. Your kids know what you watch in the bedroom after they go to bed. They know. They can listen to it, they hear it, and they know about it. And so you get caught watching something you ought not be watching, and you say something to your kids, and your kids think you're you think you're schizophrenic or something like that. They think you're a hypocrite because you won't let them watch that and they like it, but they know that you watch something else because you like it. Set standards for yourself. In fact, listen to this now. You could be the standard in your home. You could be the standard bearer in your home. That's good preaching. Amen. Standards of doctrine. Standards of political ideas. Get your standards from the Bible on how to vote and who to vote for and what to vote for and what to vote against and what to stand for and what not to stand for. Get those ideas from the Bible instead of your political parties and how your mom and dad raised you and this and that and the other. I know that probably in this church there's some people that was raised to be Democrat. Well, we vote Democrat. And there's people in this church that was raised to vote Republican. Can I tell you, that doesn't really impress me a whole lot anymore. I'm just not impressed with the notion of Republican and Democrat, because I'll tell you, I'm very disappointed right now. I am a Christian conservative, and if the Democratic Party says we're going to vote God out of the platform, I guarantee you I'm not voting for a Democrat. Amen. I think that most of the Republicans are supposed to be conservative, and if I find out that they're pro-abortion or anti-gun, I'm not voting for them. They don't get my vote. Well, who are you going to vote for? I don't vote for anybody if I can't find anybody to vote for. I just go home, sit down, and go like this and be mad. But I think you ought to set standards of political ideas, and I think those standards are to come from what's published, and that is the Word of God. And in this church, I will preach standards of political ideas. I will preach them, and I will not back down from them because I like you. And I do. I love you. Okay, but the Democratic Party back when you were growing up is not the same one that is right now. Neither is the Republican Party. Why don't you get real? Amen. I think there ought to be standards of education. I don't think the public school should be right now. The public school should not be the only ones who are educating your children. Okay. Now I'm not necessarily against public education. I'm against a lot of things that are being taught. And I will tell you, I don't think homeschool is for every family. It's hard to do. It's not easy to do. We ran a Christian school here. I can tell you it's not easy to do. But I will tell you that if they're your children, they're your responsibility for what they learn and how they learn. They are your responsibility. And if you want to homeschool them, great. If you want to send them to public school, I think I'd find out every day what's being taught to your kids. And when they come home and say, "Dad, did we come from monkeys? Let me tell you what the Bible says, son." I think you ought to set standards in your home of how your children are, what they're going to be indoctrinated with and how they're going to be taught. Standards of conduct, personal conduct. How you act when no one that you know is around. Because we all get this tendency, well, we kind of look around, well, nobody around here knows me, so I can act like an idiot, or I can act mad or mean when I'm standing in line at Walmart trying to take something back or whatever. And I'll never forget, Rose, one day, God just kind of helped me one day. I was over here at Kmart, and it was after Christmas, and I was trying to return something, and the line was slow, and I was just standing there just being patient and just biting my tongue and everything like that. And I finally got to the checkout counter and they were giving me all kinds of grief and this and that. And I finally got through the transaction. And when I walked out of that line, Bernice Whitehead was standing right there. And she said, "I've been watching you." She said, "You did good, son." I had no idea she was there. Standards of personal conduct when no one that you think knows you is around. If you'll set a standard, you'll be drawn to that standard. And I'll tell you something else too. Set that standard high so that even if you get in a time in your life when you kind of move away from that, you can see it way off in the distance and say, you know what? I'm way far away from where I used to be. I set that for a goal in my life. I haven't attained it, but I can see it standing there. It's not laid on the ground somewhere. I can see it standing there, and I'm going to go back toward that. That's how I'm going to be. Amen. Set that standard high. Standards of personal conduct. Standards of business dealings. Make sure your business dealings are honest. If you sell things for a living, make sure that what you're selling's good enough to sell at the price you're selling it. Don't listen. I don't want no shysters coming to Bethel Church. I don't want no crooks and thieves. I don't want somebody thinking they can come in here and I can grease them all the way into heaven. They can slide in real easily while they're out there doing business like a dog, like a heathen. Amen. Listen, I don't care if it's selling Avon, real estate. I don't care what it is. Be honest in your business dealings. Be honest in your dealings with the bank. Be honest when you go to the restaurant, and be honest when they overpaid you the change. Be honest enough to say, you know what? This is not my money. God will get me. God will tear my hide up on the way home if I take this. If I take 5 cents, it ain't mine. I'm turning it back in. If you turn 5 cents in, you'll turn $50 in. Amen. Have a standard of how you're going to conduct business in your personal affairs. When you go to fill out, or you have Jan fill out your tax papers this year. Amen. Make sure that I don't mind it. If the government says you can have it back, I'd take it back. Amen. I'd trust the worst person in this church with my money before I'd trust the federal government. Amen. Amen. So if the government says you can have it back, take it back. I don't have a problem. That's the law. I think I'll live by the law. But I want to tell you something. It's easy because you see that refund going up. Boy, if I just did this, or boy, if I just said it like this, then I could get another $50 out of this refund deal. You're a crook. You're a thief. You're dishonest. You say, well, I don't think I'll get audited. I don't think I'll get found out. Really? God's watching. God is watching. And you know what? The government may never find out, but I guarantee you, your car is fixing to get broke down on the side of the road somewhere. That's exactly how it works. How many of you know that to be true? Say amen. Amen. Standards in every area of life. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 62, if you would, please. I'm almost done. I appreciate you for bearing with me. And boy, I hate sitting here. I want to move around a little bit, but I better not. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. I'll let you get there. This is important. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. A highway is a way of life in the Bible. So it says, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. And gather out the stones. And then lift up a standard for the people. It's my job as pastor to set a high standard for the people who are under me in this church. It is my job to have a high standard of personal conduct, of family conduct, family life, personal beliefs, personal doings. It is my responsibility to set that standard high. And by the Bible says lift up the standard. It's up. It's to be high. It's also the jobs of moms and dads, anybody in leadership position. You're going to manage another restaurant. That's your job, Brady, to set a high standard for those people. Brady's getting trained right now in a new way of doing things, a new restaurant. You pray for him. That's not easy. But he's getting trained in a new way. And he's got to go back now and implement the stuff that he's learned in this place And he's got to do it the right way. And when he does, he'll honor God and he'll honor the company that he's working for. And they will bless him as a result of it. But he's in a, going to be in a leadership position. And he is to set a high standard of everything that he does. Because when you go to eat food at a restaurant, I don't want the lowest common denominator in my mouth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If I go to the restaurant and I see grade C from the health department, I'm not going to ask, now, which product got that grade? Was it the cheeseburger or the chicken sandwich? As far as I'm concerned, it was the whole restaurant. Amen. Set up a high. By the way, health department uses standards, don't they? High standards. And we want that, don't we? You said we're going to put their food in our mouth. And if La Cucaracha has walked across that sandwich before you got to it, I don't want it in my mouth. Somebody say amen. You see how important this is. If we wouldn't eat a stupid sandwich from a restaurant that didn't have high standards, why would we want to live any way differently? Amen. So he said, lift up a standard for the people. And then look at verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them, listen to this, they shall call them the what? The holy people. Holiness is a standard. Holiness is not just whatever you make it out to be. Well, I don't, and I've heard people say this, I don't see anything wrong with wearing this. I don't see anything wrong with this kind of music. I don't see anything wrong with reading this kind of book or watching this kind of movie. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's not up to you to figure out where the standard is. God has already set it. It's up to you to ask God's help to live by it. Okay? So he says, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out in a city not forsaken. So now I want you to take your Bible. You're in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 18. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 18. You know what? I missed probably the biggest part of this message. While you turn in Isaiah chapter 10, let me read this. Boy, this is the part I like right here. Oh, my goodness. Isaiah 59, 19. Everybody listen to this. Everybody listen to me now. Isaiah 59, 19. You know what standards will do? Standards will make your enemies flee. I want you to think of being out on the battlefield. I want you to think of that day on Okinawa. When the Marines had blood and guts busted their way through to the top of that mountain on Okinawa Island. They were fighting the Japanese. And they got to the top of that mountaintop. And we had that image burned in our mind of those Marines standing that American flag up to raise it up. And they did it on a mountain. They didn't do it on the beach. They did it up on the mountain. They got up on top of that mountain and they raised that American flag and stood that American flag up there. You know what they wanted? They wanted all those Japanese to know, listen, we're here. We own this mountain and we're coming for you. You know what most of them did? They run down, they had dug holes down underground. It took days for them to get guys out of those holes underground. It took days for them to get them out of there. It made the enemy scatter and flee. You know why? They knew they lost. They knew they had lost. Now I want you to listen to this and then we'll run, all right? Isaiah 59, 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. How many of you have ever had your enemies come in after you like a flood? And I'm talking about your own sinfulness, your own lust, your own desires, your own covetousness, your own pride, your own ego, everything like that. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Did you hear that? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him and hold the flag up on top of the mountain. And that'll tell the enemies, I'm here, I'm not backing down, I won this mountain and I'm coming after you boys. And you know what happens? The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. God said back in Isaiah 31 that when the standard's lifted up, the enemy just goes scattering all over the place. So we're not just talking about personal contact. We're talking about spiritual warfare. If you'll just hold this, if you'll just hold this Bible in high regard in your mind and in your heart, if you will hold this Bible and the words of this Bible in high regard in your heart, and when the enemy comes in after you like a flood to cause you to fall away and to cause you to be defeated, just raise this Bible up and say, here's my standard right here. This is how I may not have lived like it yesterday, but I'm going to try to live like it today. Somebody say amen. So listen to this now. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 18. And shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. The standard is still the standard. The word of God's always going to be the word of God. He's not saying the standard's going to fail because God's standards don't fail. Do you know what fails? The preachers and the pastors who faint away because they didn't hold themselves to the same standard that they preached to everybody else. That's sad. But that's what we hear about all the time, Brady. We hear of one pastor after another. It's not that the Bible failed. It's not the Bible's morality failed. It's that the standard bearer failed. Y'all pray for your standard bearer here in this church. You don't have to pray for the Bible. The Bible's the Bible. Amen. Pray for the guy who's preaching the Bible. Pray for Brady. Pray for the deacon. Pray for the deacon. Pray for the men on the board. You pray for the men in this church who are to be in leadership in this church to make sure that they don't faint in holding the standard. Because stop and think about this. Think, and let's put ourselves on the battlefield now. Okay? And two armies opposing one another, and they both have different flags. And in the heat of the battle, all of the armies are looking for the standard. They're looking for the flag to fly. And then all of a sudden, one of the flags goes down. The standard bearer faints. You know what that does to the army whose standard that is? Immediately, they're full of fear. Oh no, our standard's gone. What are we going to do? You know what that does to the opposing army? Look there. We got their flag to go down. They are then emboldened and they rush in. And I don't know that it's absolute, but it just seems like in any battle, if you just look at it historically, when the flag fell, the army lost. And they all had. Hold the standard, guys. Men of this church, don't faint at that standard. If I fail at it, keep going. If one of the other men in this church fail at it, we're going to keep going. Moms and dads, hold that standard high in your home and in your family. The enemy will flee if you'll keep holding that Bible up. Now, I like to preach personal morality and personal conduct, things like that. But if you ever find yourself failing and you look back and you see that you're far removed from that standard, at least you set it high enough so that when you're out there, you know where to come back to. Keep that in mind. Will you do that? Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask you this morning, bow your head this morning, if you would. Open your heart up to God this morning. I'm going to open up this altar this morning for prayer and for prayer time. If you'd like to come, please do. Make your way down here. Let's pray. This morning, I'm not going to even ask you to raise your hand, but if you could just ask yourself and ask God this question, God, I know what the standard is in my life. I know what it is. It's every word of God. The word of God's supposed to tell me how to live my life, how to make the choices I make, how to do what I'm supposed to do. It's supposed to be the word of God that tells me that. Maybe some dads could just ask God, God, help me to be the standard bearer in my home. Help me not to make it my wife or my children. Dads and husbands, that's your job. That's not their job. That's yours. Help me to hold the standards high, God. That even if I fail, that will not excuse the rest of my family, because I will have taught them, just because I failed the standard doesn't mean the standard changes. Moms and dads pray together to lead their children in righteousness, to lead them in the truth. Elders in the church, the pastor, the deacon, the men on the board, we could all covenant with one another that we're going to pray for one another and ask God to help us all, publicly and privately, to hold the standard high, to lift it up for the rest of this church. There's a lot of people watching us, more than we think. They need to see that standard high in our church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I thank you, dear God, for this message. Lord, I need to hear this message. I could probably just, Lord, I'd like to hear somebody else preach it, and I'd listen to it a lot. And Lord, we have an awesome responsibility. The Word of God is the Word of God, and it's not going to change. But God, you've asked us to lift up that standard high. And we hold this Bible in this church in high regard. Help us, dear God, to come unto it instead of it making it come down to our level. Lord, help us as men. Help us as husbands and fathers. Help moms and dads, dear God. Help families and parents, leaders in jobs and businesses, God. Young people, Lord, in their schools. Help them, dear God, to say, you know what? Just because the world's going out, just because my friends go out and party and get drunk and they lie with one another, I'm not going to do that. That's not my standard. That's not my way. Help these young people, God, to come out of ungodly circumstances because of the standard that's been set in their life. Lord, I pray for your help and your guidance, Lord, upon us. Lord, we're very weak sometimes. But the standard does not change because we are. And Lord, help us to not faint at holding that standard high. Lord, we love you. We thank you, dear God, for hearing our prayer. We thank you, dear God, for your word and the standards that you've given us. Lift it up and make our enemies flee, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Come back and be with us tonight at 6 o'clock. Study the word of God tonight, Wednesday night. We'll be here, be watching, or come and join us. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming,
as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.